welcome to the Goal Lines Podcast, your Mid-Missouri football guy. If you don't already subscribe, find us on Apple Podcasts and Google Play.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to a new season worth of the News Tribune Football Podcast featuring the Missouri Tigers. I'm your host, Tony Hawley. I'm sitting here with Kyle McAravey of the News Tribune. And Kyle, we got a lot to digest and a short time to do it, and so let's get to it.
Sure. Yeah, football's back.
It's back, and probably not a moment too soon for a lot of people, but I think, especially with the way last year ended, we couldn't get back around to this season starting probably fast enough for a lot of people. So let's kind of flash back a little bit in a game that we really didn't get to talk about as being the season ender, but the season ended last year with Missouri going 11-2, capped it off with a 14-3 win in the Cotton Bowl against Ohio State. I think it was a fantastic season start to finish, and it exceeded expectations in a lot of ways. And I think I don't want to say this tainted it, because you'll take a bowl victory anytime, and you'll take an Ohio State win over Ohio State anytime. It just seemed like it was kind of one of those blah games that we knew there wasn't going to be all that exciting because there was a lot of people sitting out for Ohio State. But you did what you were supposed to do and won it, so you go into the offseason with a win rather than a loss, which is what you always want. So I guess that serves as a good springboard heading into this year.
Yeah, absolutely. And being the Cotton Bowl champions, that's a nice thing to have. I think it's kind of an emblematic game of why the college football playoff is expanding this year.
Right.
Right?
Sure.
Because, the Cotton Bowl is supposed to be one of those marquee games.
Yeah, absolutely.
That, you get all your guys, everyone's hyped up. It's one of the New Year's Six,
correct,
right? And
correct.
You had a significant portion of Ohio State not playing.
Right.
Especially a lot of key guys, like Marvin Harrison Jr., who I think a lot of people would have been very excited to watch one more college game with him, right?
Absolutely.
But financially, makes perfect sense for him not to
totally.
Play.
Sure.
He was about to become the highest drafted receiver into the NFL. There's no reason for him to play that game if a championship isn't on the line.
Right.
So, now this year, you get the expanded playoff.
Yeah.
That game's going to matter again.
Exactly.
And you get a lot more teams with the opportunity to play games that, really, really matter late into December.
Sure.
Again, the way
things stay substantial longer.
Yes.
Yeah.
And in a way that the bowl games, these same bowl games, used to matter a lot.
Right.
But haven't recently. They're going to again, which is very exciting for
Absolutely.
This year.
Absolutely. Let's take a quick break for an ad read. At Carpet Values, we offer the guaranteed lowest prices on all your flooring needs. And now, during our fall savings event, you can save even more. We are stocked full of carpet, vinyl plank, tile, laminates, rugs, and more. Don't miss out on these hot fall savings. Come see us at Carpet Values and take advantage of our guaranteed lowest prices. We're your low-price superstore at I-70 and Highway 54 in Kingdom City. So, but again, that takes nothing away from how, the fantastic year that it was. And I think, again, I don't think that either you or I thought last year 11-2 was in the cards when we started talking about things.
No, I think our over-under on this pod last year was 7.5.
Right. And I think they proved it week in and week out, and I think really made believers out of a lot of people. So now comes the tricky part. I think we've had a healthy dose of skepticism about the Tigers every year, especially during the Drinkwitz.
Sure.
Campaign. It's always been let's wait and see how it goes, and we'll see how things pan out. This year, I think you almost have to temper some people's expectations and go, okay, let's just, I get it. There's hype. There's this, talk hey, they're a playoff team this year. They're top 15 for sure. They're this for sure. They're, a contender for this. And it kind of makes you go, okay, let's just pump the brakes just a little bit. Let's just get things started first and see how it goes. Because there are some things that we need to talk about, and we will now. There's a lot of things that they have to kind of overcome that we lost last year. First, you start off with, the guy who set the single season rushing record, Cody Schrader. Mm-hmm. He's gone. So I don't think when we talked last year at this time, we were thinking, boy, that's going to be a big loss we'll be talking about next year. But it sure is.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think last year at this time, there was still a question of whether Cody Schrader was an SEC running back.
Correct.
Turns out he was the best running back in the SEC.
Right.
I think I've kind of been tried to be a tempering voice when people have asked me about expectations
right.
for this year.
Right.
You're replacing Schrader with a couple of other transfers in Nate Noel and Marcus Carroll. You know, it's hard to tell. They're both coming from smaller programs that have had success in Appalachian State and Georgia State. They've both had success at those levels, but the SEC is a different thing,
sure,
right? And even with Schrader, it took a year to adjust.
Right.
His, you know, it's hard to call it a junior season because he played seven seasons of high school football or college football or
right,
whatever
right.
it was, but his first year in Columbia
right.
wasn't incredible.
Right.
Right. It took him that full season to adjust to how the speed of the SEC.
Sure.
And then his second season was significantly
right.
better. So it's hard to, you know, really be able to say where these new guys are going to be at as they're facing SEC competition
yeah.
week in and week out for the
yeah.
first time.
And we'll come back to the offense in a bit, but while we're talking about losses, you know, you have to, the biggest probably losses in terms just of sheer number come on the defensive side where you go like, let me just throw some names at you like Darius Robinson and Ennis Rakestraw and Tyron Hopper and Chris Abrams-Drain, and you go, that's a lot of guys that we heard their names called a lot last year that we won't be hearing their names called at all this year.
Don't forget Jalen Carlisle. Those are all guys who got drafted
right.
in the top five rounds, right?
Like right.
they're a first-round draft pick, a third-round draft pick,
yeah.
a fourth-round draft pick, two fifth-round draft picks.
right.
Like, that's an impressive amount of quality to lose off of a defense all at one time.
Yeah, and I think that's where, again, when you talk about tempering people's expectations, I think that's where I'm more concerned. Because, yes, Chris Schrader played great and overachieved and was fantastic. But I think just the sheer amount of difference makers on the defensive side is what really worries me. Because, yeah, you're going to have to replace one guy on offense who was a big contributor. But you're having to replace, like, half a defense that was a contributor last
yeah,
year.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's kind of where I've been... where my conversations with people have gone about this season.
Because
there is so much to be excited about offensively, right? You saw the transformation of the offense last year, especially once you got past like week three or so.
Right.
And saw what this can be. And so many key pieces of the offense are back
sure.
that, you know, people are coming in and saying, well, they're going to score 45 points a game. Like,
right.
you know, whatever the defense does, it's fine.
Right.
As long as the offense can outscore whoever they're playing. Well, if you're replacing half of the starting defense or more, you're replacing the defensive coordinator. I don't think the scheme's going to really change, but like adjustments take time to,
right.
to get used to.
Yeah.
And you're going against the top level of college football. Mm-hmm. Like if there's a little bit of miscommunication on the defense as guys are getting adjusted to the slight changes,
right.
it's going to make a difference. So, you know, you can score 45 points a game. If you give up 48, you still lose.
Exactly. Exactly. And I think it's a lot of it is too, is there will be names that we probably heard in bit roles last year mm-hmm. that will have more significant time. But it's always that question of, okay, when you become the guy that people are depending on at this position or that position or that position, it's like, okay, what kind of a leap can you make? I mean, you hope that it makes a Schrader-like leap from, you know, bit part to star, but it's like that's a lot of pieces to go. I don't know exactly what we're going to get from a lot of guys, you
sure.
know, and then again, that turnover just makes it like not only do we not know we're going to get on an individual level from these guys, but how do they then mesh or not mesh, you know? And that's the thing, is just when there's a big number of losses, that all becomes so much more complicated.
Well, and I think a perfect example of a guy you're talking about is Johnny Walker Jr., right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, had some standout moments last year
sure.
where he made very impressive plays, was kind of a rotational piece who worked more and more into the starting defense.
Right.
He's taken kind of the key, you know, defensive end pass rusher role from Darius Robinson this
yeah.
year. And it's like, you know, there were also some not so good moments that you saw from Johnny
sure.
Walker Jr. last year, kind of getting, you know, a little bit of a hot head at times.
Right, exactly.
You know, like there, it's not just a like physical step up or understanding the scheme better step up or anything like that.
Yeah.
Like there's a mentality step up
sure.
that needs to happen for a guy like that too.
Absolutely.
So it's a lot of pieces like that. Or like Drayden Norwood as a corner, you know, he played a lot last year, had some pretty good moments, and then had some moments where he got burnt. And
yeah.
it's like, okay, so you're not just like working him in, which you kind of got last year.
Right.
But like there was, you know, enough quality in the defensive backfield last year to maybe hide some mistakes from time to time
sure.
when he was working in.
Yeah.
Now he's the guy.
Right.
Now he's the number one corner.
Right.
And that's just a different conversation to have.
Absolutely. And then again, you alluded to it, but another part of the conversation we have to have is, you know, you know, I think at times we were like, okay, what are we going to see from Blake Baker and a Blake Baker defense? And then all of a sudden you go, just as we start to get, you know, familiar with Blake Baker and learn what to expect from him, he's gone to LSU. And so now, you know, Corey Batoon takes over and it's like, okay, what do we expect from him? And so I guess the big question I have for you is, okay, what do we expect from him? I think you said maybe similar things, you know, in terms of scheme, but then, you know, again, another untested commodity, I guess, in a new role.
Yeah, you know, I honestly don't know a ton about
sure.
Corey Batoon. It looks like it's going to kind of be a similar, like, 3-3-5 type of defense, five defensive backs a lot of the time, more of a nickel base type of look,
okay.
Which is what you got a lot of the time with Blake Baker. Blake Baker really liked to dial up blitzes,
mm-hmm.
you know, at times that worked out very well.
Right.
Right. Like his timing of when to send extra rushers was key at a lot of points okay. last season. So I don't know, you know, if Corey Batoon's going to have that same feel for
sure.
just the right time to send an extra guy or two.
Right.
Or whatever that's going to look like. But generally, I think the defensive scheme is going to look essentially the same. Like, if you're just eyeballing it, it's
yeah.
going to be those little pieces here and there where there's a slight change
yeah.
that's going to take some getting used to.
So flipping back to the offense, we talked about a loss. Let's talk about what we do have back, though, because that's another area where I feel like, okay, it's real easy to get excited about this team because of A, quarterback, and B, wide receiver. So let's start with quarterback and talk about Brady Cook.
If you remember at this point last year, we were asking for about the first 3 weeks if it was going to be Brady Cook
right.
or if it was going to be Sam Horn. Well, Sam Horn is not going to play this season anyways, but doesn't matter.
Right.
Brady Cook won the job.
Right.
Clearly.
Right. Yeah.
Threw for over 3,000 passing yards. I mean, was just fantastic once the offense, you know, opened up. The reason we got, 3 weeks in still asking that question was the first two games, the offense didn't look any different
right.
from the year before, right? Like
yeah.
we didn't get the full experience of the new offense. And then that week 3, week 4, once you got to the Memphis game, like, oh my God, what a change.
Right.
That was fascinating how quickly that switched and just like, oh, this is what it looks like now. And Brady can do it.
Right. Yeah, I think, you know, and again, I think the one thing that we kind of kept worrying about as the year went on was, okay, durability. You know, he's still a very lean-looking kid where you go, I don't know if he's going to handle the rigors. Once we were like, he's our guy. Let's go with him. And you're like, oh, I just hope he can make it to the end. Well, he made it to the end.
And
you know?
A lean-looking kid who likes to run.
Right, exactly. Absolutely. So, you know, again, I think his durability was another thing that also impressed, I think, as the year went on. And you hope that, okay, all of this is pointing for, okay, what's next? Again, in that maturation process, if he can take another step, holy cow, this thing could be very interesting this year.
Well, and he's coming in as a Maxwell Award watch list guy. That watch list is long.
Right.
You know? And Luther Burden's on there too. We'll talk about him in a second, I'm sure. But, you know, both of those guys, the Maxwell Award is the best offensive college football player.
Right.
So to have two guys on the same offense at Missouri going in saying like, either of these guys, like, keep your eye out. They might be the best player offensively in college football this year.
Right.
That's a pretty impressive
Absolutely.
Group to have, not to mention the rest of the guys behind Luther in yeah. the receiver room.
So while we're adapting to the Schrader replacements and we're seeing what they have to offer, it's always at least a good thing to go, well, if running back's going to be a little unsettled, it's nice to, one, have Luther Burden at wide receiver, and two, have some other options at wide receiver that sounds like are also pretty darn good.
Yeah, I mean, Theo Weiss coming back is huge. He looked just fantastic once he got, you know, kind of fully implemented last year.
Right.
It took a little bit, I think, to get him fully set into what the offense was
yeah.
at times, and especially, I mean, the whole offense, it took a minute to get set, like we were talking about. Like, it wasn't what it ended up looking like until week 3, week 4, whatever.
Right.
And, you know, it took a little bit extra to probably get that confidence between Brady and Theo Weiss, right, as a transfer coming in. Like, maybe it just takes an extra couple of games.
Right.
Versus
right.
with Luther, who he's been working with since Luther got here.
Right.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And then you've got Mookie Cooper back, who's a senior, has looked pretty good at times, has been kind of maybe like a fourth option a lot of the times. He's now up to the 3. I think that's a pretty solid top 3. I mean, you could
oh yeah
you could argue, I mean, Luther, it, going to say Luther's probably not coming back next year.
Right.
Because he's going to be like a top five pick in the NFL draft next year.
Right.
If all goes as
like
it,
we think
as
it should.
It can,
yeah.
Right. So if you've got a guy like that leading a room that has another two very good players, you're looking at arguably one of the best receiver rooms in the country.
Right. Yeah. We'll get to the opener here in a minute, but I do just want to kind of talk in an overview of like, okay, you know, I think last year there was kind of this clear delineation where we're like, okay, you know, this is one of those games where you go, okay, we've got some time to ease into the schedule and then things get ramped up and things get a little bit trickier. And it's pretty similar again this year, but just like taking the macro view of things, what do you kind of think, or what is there anything that stands out to you schedule-wise? You know, I think the one thing that probably does stand out to people a little bit is the fact that, you know, we're going to have an Oklahoma game again this year with them joining the SEC. So, you know, you do have some kind of familiar SEC foes and then one new SEC foe. Anything, and if you want to talk about that, do, but is there anything else that kind of stood out about the schedule to you and just in general?
I mean, the schedule as a whole could be argued as probably one of the easier runs through the SEC that you can have.
Right.
I mean, you're taking Georgia off the schedule because you no longer have the divisions.
Right.
You are putting Alabama on the schedule, so at Tuscaloosa, definitely not an easy game.
Right.
Right. Like, sure. I'm not saying it's a cakewalk.
Ooh, what a breeze.
But, like, you know, you open with Vandy, you still got them on the schedule. A&M, I never know what to expect out of Texas.
I don't think anybody does.
Auburn, you know, is a winnable game.
Right.
Oklahoma is not as good as it has been in, you know, 3-4 years ago, plus South Carolina, Mississippi State, Arkansas, like those are all.
Yeah, I mean, you don't have a Florida on there, you don't have a Georgia on there, you don't have some of those big teams where you're like, ugh, that weekend could be trouble.
There's, for a continuation of an SEC schedule, it's a big change because of the new format of the conference,
right?
When you add Oklahoma and Texas and you take out the divisions, like they're, it's just different in a way that I think makes it a slightly easier run for Missouri this year.
Yeah, absolutely. And we'll talk about Murray State in a second, but again, I think the first four, especially look at it too, you'll Murray State, Buffalo, Boston College, Vandy, you're like, oh, well, you know what? I mean, whereas last year we were like, what could we be after the first four? I think this year you're looking at it going, we could be 4-0 after the first four, and it shouldn't probably be a thing.
And it shouldn't probably be an issue. You got Texas A&M and UMass. I mean, you should at least be 5-1 after six games.
Exactly.
And that's if Texas A&M is, you know, a surprisingly good team this year. So 5-1, 6-0 after the first six seems pretty reasonable.
Absolutely.
If not expected.
Yeah, exactly. That opener, again, it is Murray State, 7:00 tonight, SEC Network. It's an FCS team. It's an FCS team that, frankly, hasn't been very good. I think they've won two games each of the last 2 years. So I think it's one of those games where you go, okay. And I think, you know, you and I were talking off air, I think those two wins that they got last year were Presbyterian and Indiana State. So you go,
State's a conference win.
Well, that's true. So that is big. But that's also not exactly one of those things where you go, yep, but the two wins they got, they were were statement victories. They were fine. So again, you're talking about like an 11-2 coming in versus a 2-9. I know they're all different teams, but I think this one is one of those where, like we talked about last year, you're expecting to see lots of points versus very little points, and if you're not, then we're a little worried.
I'll say first, I don't think I'm the only person who will cover this game who will say, I don't know a lot about Missouri State.
Murray State, yeah.
I just don't, and I don't think it's worth really looking into, honestly.
I think you'll learn enough after about the first quarter, and you go, okay, we know what that is.
And second, Missouri is about a 47.5 point favorite.
So that's the question. I had somebody ask me and say, okay, what do you think? Do they cover? And I'm like, man,
I don't think
48 points is a lot to have to beat somebody by.
I don't doubt that Missouri could put up 50.
Sure.
In this game. Like, if, you know, if for some reason Eli Drinkwitz is looking across and seeing Tennessee in Murray State, like, sure, they could put up 50 or 60 if they wanted to. I don't think they will.
Yeah.
I don't see any reason to have the starters in the second
half. And that's almost, you know, when you have a spread that big, you almost got to go, you go everything. You got to score basically on every possession, and you pitch a shot out on basically every possession, other than if you have like a 13-possession game, which is not likely probably either. Well, and again, it's a matter of how perfect can things go in game one for anybody, really.
And I expect we're going to see a lot of Nate Noel and Marcus Carroll. We're going to get a lot of running the ball.
Right.
I think the offense is going to kind of close down in a way that was similar to the first couple of games last year.
Yeah.
There's no reason to, like, spread it out and really show all that this offense is capable of.
Right.
Because you're going to just be able to run the ball and win pretty easily.
Right.
So I would expect... I'm not a betting man. I would take Murray State plus the points.
Right.
But I just can't imagine Missouri's going to sit there and pour it on once they get up 35 or 40 or whatever.
Exactly.
You know, I can't see it just continuing after that point.
Right. So, again, I think it's one of those where we're looking at, okay, that's an easy win, and then we'll talk more about, you know, the next possible easy win next week. But is there anything, you know, preseason-wise that, you know, that we failed to mention, I guess, that maybe, you know, you've heard or this bears watching or anything along those lines where you're like, okay, this is a storyline that we might be talking about later on?
Williams Nwaneri is on the freshman of the year watch list. He's not listed as a starter on the depth chart, but could definitely work his way in. He's certainly in the rotation among the defensive ends at this point. You know, he's another one of like the very top recruits coming from in the state, right? So if you get a Luther breakout last year, you get a Williams Nwaneri breakout this year.
Right.
And you just use that to continue like upping the recruiting that you're already doing a very good job in.
Right.
You know, that's a great sign for the continued success of the program. They sold out today's game, which I was a little bit surprised by.
Thursday night especially. You're kind of wondering who's going to make a trip.
Opener against an FCS opponent. I was a little bit surprised.
The last day of this hot streak we've been on where you're like, who wants to go sit out in like 90-degree temperatures and watch Murray State? I think that's a tough sell. So to their credit, they were able to sell it out.
The sellout streak continues, and it will throughout the year. I think they've already announced that most, if not all, of the other home games are already sold out.
Yeah.
So good for the team, good for the fans. I mean, that's a lot of fun. I was a little surprised at tonight being sold out.
Yeah, absolutely.
Otherwise, preseason-wise, I don't think there was anything else big that we missed.
Right. Okay. Guess that gets us to your favorite point of the podcast, the prediction point of the podcast. Yeah. And while we think we know we're pretty sure it's going to be a win, what do you think the final tally ends up being?
I'll say like 49-6.
Okay.
I could see a couple field goals being let up and, you know, 6 or 7 touchdowns for Missouri feels about right if they're, you know, actually going for it for a half. So, I don't know. Seems like that's probably about right.
All right. Well, that should do it for this week. For Kyle McArabia, I'm Tony Hawley saying thanks for listening.
For more information about this week's game, visit newstribune.com and get game updates and more college sports content all week by following Kyle McArabia on Twitter at Kyle_McArabia. That's McArabia. Thanks for listening.